This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith Known for Integrity.
What is our faith known for most today? If you ask the typical person, what do you think of when I say the word Christian these days? Is what we're known for accurate? Is what we're known for in society today negative? Does it match what Jesus wants us to be known for? Or have we gotten off course? You know, if I were to ask the non-believers who know you, what do they think of the Christian faith? Knowing you, what do you think they would say, knowing you? You know, you don't have to read very much of the Bible to figure out pretty quickly that God cares deeply about his reputation. And all throughout Scripture, the phrase, "for my glory," is used over and over and over. But God doesn't just care about his reputation. He also cares deeply about your reputation. Did you know that? Because you are his child. He's your heavenly father and you're in the family of God. The church is the family of God. You're a part of his family. And like all good fathers, your heavenly father wants his family to be respected. He wants his church, his family to be respected. He doesn't want any of his children, that's you and that's me, giving his family a bad name because of the way we speak or act. He doesn't want our lives to bring him dishonor. Now, this theme that I'm talking about this weekend, protecting God's glory and reputation, and also protecting his family's reputation, the church's reputation, is literally taught all through the Bible. God wants you to realize that you represent him. If you call yourself a Christian, you're a little Christ. You represent him here on earth. And he wants us to realize that any of us, me, I can do this. We can bring shame to his name when we don't act in Christ-like ways to the people and to the events around us. Now, I've said many times, if you've been at Saddleback, you know that I've said this many times, that there are two big reasons that unbelievers reject Jesus Christ. The first one is they've never become a friend of a Christian. So they don't really know any Christians. And the second reason that they have is that they have met a Christian. And they were turned off by our attitudes or by our actions or by our hypocrisy or whatever. We have to realize that the way we respond to all that's happening around us, the pandemic, the politics, the fires, the floods, the unease in society, all of the way we respond to what's happening around us, racial inequality, that has eternal implications because people's eternal destinies are in the balance. You see, we're either a good witness and a good testimony for the loving grace of God, or we're a bad one. We can be a stepping stone to Jesus Christ and salvation, or we can be a stumbling block, and we can actually be a barrier to people. You don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. You don't want people to reject Jesus Christ. You don't want people to reject God's offer of salvation because they don't want to be like you. No. So let me show you just a couple of scriptures where God talks about this theme that we're looking at this weekend. You know, the NJB translation has an interesting translation of Proverbs 27:21. It says this, a person is worth what his reputation is worth. Whoa, a person is worth what his reputation is worth. That's in the Bible. Now, this verse isn't talking about your worth to God. No, you're priceless to God. That's why Christ died for you on the cross. What it's talking about is what other people think of you. That a person's worth is what his reputation is, what your reputation is worth. It's talking about what other people think of you, and it's saying that your self-worth is far more important than your net worth. That your value and your valuables are not the same. Here's another verse. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1 says, a good reputation is more valuable than the most expensive perfume. You know, just for fun this week, I decided to find out what's the most expensive perfume in the world. So I looked it up. You know what it is? It's made in Dubai, and it costs $1.8 million a bottle. Hello. Can you imagine any perfume costing $1.8 million a bottle? So now you know what to get your, you know, friend who has everything this Christmas. All right? Now, again, God says this, Proverbs 22, verse 1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. So if you have to choose between a lot of money and a good reputation, it said choose the reputation. Being held in high esteem is far better than having a pile of silver or gold. Now, you may be thinking, Rick, okay, should I be concerned at all about my reputation? I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by grace. Should I be concerned about my reputation as a Christian? The answer is definitely yes. You should be. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us. Chapter 8, verse 21, the Message paraphrase, Paul says this. You know, we are being as careful in our reputation with the public. We're being as careful with our reputation with the public as we are in our reputation with God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional, or if you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, according to your faith will it be done to you. Matthew 9:29. That's an amazing statement. Jesus is saying that you get to choose how much God blesses you and how much God uses you in his plan for the world. So how is that possible? The answer is faith. Daring faith is the key to fulfilling God's will in your life, and it's the secret to experiencing miracles in your life. You'll want to journey with Pastor Rick through the Daring Faith Bible study as he examines true biblical faith and looks at the lives of people who are commended for their faith in the Bible. If you're ready to break out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do, then order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren today. These videos are packed with inspiring teaching that will free you up to become the history maker you were made to be. Be bold, step out of the ordinary, and live a life of daring faith. Right now, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the 6-session Daring Faith DVD and workbook. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with two R's in the middle, .com. There are only 3 days left to get yours, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
One of the qualifications that you must have to be a leader in the church, either as an elder or as a deacon, is that you must have, quote, a good reputation. Not just with believers, listen, but with unbelievers too. You're not supposed to be an elder or a deacon in a church unless you have a good reputation, not just with the church, but with unbelievers. Let me show you a couple verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 7 says this, an elder must be a man whose life cannot be spoken against. Whoa. An elder must be a man whose life cannot be spoken against. He must be faithful to his wife, He must exhibit self-control. He must live wisely. He must have a good reputation. And that's talking about with believers. Then, down in the next verse, he says, also, he must have a good reputation with people outside the church who speak well of him so that he can't be disgraced and trapped by Satan. Then Paul says, if you want to be a deacon, you have to have the same requirement. By the way, what's a deacon anyway? Because we don't use that term so much at Saddleback. Deacon is just the Greek word for minister. It's the Greek word for servant. Diakonos means servant or minister. To be a deacon is to be a servant. To be a deacon is to be a minister. If you serve in any capacity in ministry at Saddleback Church, you're involved in any ministry, guess what? You may not realize it. You're a deacon. Okay? You're a deacon. You're a minister. You're a servant of Christ. Maybe you didn't know that, but here's what the Bible says about you serving in ministry. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 and 10. New Living Translation. In the same way, deacons must be people who are respected and have integrity. Have integrity. First, they must be evaluated. Then, if they have a good reputation, there's that phrase again, then they can become a deacon. You have to have a good reputation, and God wants you to work on your reputation, particularly with unbelievers. You say, well, okay, what does God want me to do? What does he want me to be known for? Well, did you notice the little word in that last verse that I just read? God wants you to have integrity. Integrity. God wants us to have a faith that is known for integrity. Integrity sums up all the Christ-like qualities that God wants you to exhibit in your life. He wants all of the qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, all the fruit of Spirit. He wants all these qualities to be integrated into a whole in your life. That's called integrity. He wants the inside of your character to be exactly the same as the outside of your conduct. Now, let me be clear. Having integrity doesn't mean you're perfect, because nobody's perfect. Okay? Nobody's perfect. Having integrity doesn't mean you never mess up or you never make a mistake. If that were true, no one would ever have integrity. No. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. Integrity means more than anything else. You want your life to be truthful, not deceitful, not wishy-washy, but you treat everybody the exact same way. That's integrity. You don't treat the Queen of England one way and the bum on the street another way and your grandkids another way. No. He says, what you see is what you get. Now, friends, to live with integrity in this day and in this age and in this culture, well, it just requires a whole lot of special effort. Because right now, in our culture, we are witnessing the death of truth in society. It's everywhere, the death of truth. There are many people who don't even believe objective truth exists anymore. What is truth? I don't even believe it exists. The only thing that matters is what you feel. It's what we're told today. And if I feel it, it's true. And truth is relative for many people. They say, well, maybe true for you, but it's not true for me. Or maybe true for me, but it's not true for you. As if truth is an opinion. We're living in an age where political leaders call obvious lies that everybody knows is a lie. They call them alternative facts. Well, the Bible doesn't call them alternative facts. The Bible just calls them lies. And what matters is to them is not the truth, but it's whatever I want to believe, even if it's false. So there is a shortage. There is a crisis of integrity today in our society. There's a shortage of leaders with integrity in the world today, which makes it even more and more important that you and I, as followers of Jesus, really are different, that we have a faith known for integrity. God wants us to live with such integrity, not perfection, but with such integrity that the world can say about us, you know, I may not agree with those guys, those Christians, but they're honest, and they're not deceptive, and they're not deceitful, and their word is good, and they keep the promises, and they do what they say they'll do. That's what we need to be in today's world, a faith that is known for integrity. So you say, okay, I want that. I want my life to represent Jesus truthfully. So how do I grow in that area? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you four ways to work on integrity in your life from Scripture. All right, here they are. Number one, to be known for integrity, to have the reputation, that's a woman of integrity. That's a man of integrity. Number one, I must speak the truth plainly. I must speak the truth plainly. Not flowing in all kinds of embellishments and things like that. This is where we start with the text today from the book of James. James is encouraging us to live with integrity when he wrote this in James chapter 5, verse 12. Let me read it to you. Just one verse we're looking at, James 5, 12. He says this. He says, above all, my brothers and sisters, don't swear by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Okay? Don't swear by heaven or earth or anything else. Just let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Just say what you mean. Do this so you can't be judged and condemned. Now, let me explain. When James tells us not to swear, he's not talking about cussing. He's not talking about profanity. He's not talking about potty mouth or vulgar talk, you know, or obscenities. That's not the kind of swearing he's talking about. He's talking about making an oath by referring to something else, as if you don't have enough integrity in yourself to keep your own word. You have to promise on a stack of Bibles or whatever. He's saying, don't say things like, I swear to God, it's the truth. You should never say, I swear to God. The Bible says, don't do that. It's taking God's name in vain. I swear to God on a stack of Bibles. Or, I swear on my mother's grave. James says, don't do that. He says, you cheapen your own integrity when you have to appeal to something besides your own character. I swear based on, you know, something else out there. No, no, don't do that. Don't say, I cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Don't use any kind of oath. You don't need it. You're a follower of Jesus. So your word should stand on its own. He says, just let your yes be yes and let your no be no. So speak the truth plainly. All right? Don't embellish it. Don't shade it. Don't twist it. Just speak the truth plainly. If you mean yes, you say yes. If you mean no, you say no. You know, sadly, it just seems today that there are very few people in the media or in politics who know how to do something this simple. Do they say yes or no? They always have to shade it. You get asked a question, yes or no question, and they answer it with something else. Now, when James brings this up as the foundation of all integrity, speaking the truth plainly, he's not the first person to say this. He had a half-brother named Jesus Christ, remember? And Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount, and Paul said it too. Now listen, anytime God says something three times in Scripture, you better know it's important to God. And so this thing is said three different times. Here's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 19. Paul says, am I like the people of the world? Now listen, what are the people of the world like? Am I like the people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is true, I am not that sort of person. My yes means yes. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never wavers between yes and no. That's powerful scripture. Jesus never wavers between yes and no. Paul says, I want to be counterculture in my integrity. When nobody else has got it, I want to have it. I don't want to be like unbelievers who never quite say what they mean. And when they say yes, they really mean no, and vice versa. He says, and my motivation for my integrity is because I want to be like Jesus, who never wavers between yes and no. So James says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Paul says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And now, as I said, Jesus taught this exact same truth in the Sermon on the Mount. And his brother, half-brother, James, just repeats it in his book. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 34 and 37, here's what Jesus said. I tell you, here's Jesus, I tell you to never swear by heaven, which is God's throne, or by the earth, which is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, his great city, or even by the hair on your head, because you can't turn one hair white or black. Well, you can today, but in those days, they didn't have hair color. But he says, you can't change your hair just by wishing it. Just say, this is Jesus talking, just say a simple yes if you mean yes, or no when you mean no. Your word should be enough. Anything more than that is from the evil one. That's Jesus Christ talking. So now we've had James say it. We've had Paul say it. We've had Jesus say same thing. Said, if you're going to be my disciple, the disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to have integrity. And it starts with having a faith known for integrity. And he says to have a faith known for integrity, the first step is it just have to speak the truth plainly. Here's number two. How to have a faith, how to get a reputation for integrity. Share the truth completely. I speak it plainly, but I share it completely.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook. As our way of saying thanks, go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.